Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ladies and gentlemen, he wore the Red Sox uniform for 22 years. He wore the uniform of the United States Marines for 4.5 more. He owned the left field at this very ballpark. He was the last man to hit 400 in a season, and he did it 58 years ago. He hit 521 home runs, including one on his last at-bat. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the greatest hitter.
It doesn't feel like 20 years ago already that that happened at Fenway Park, but it will be 20 years ago to the day this coming Saturday that moment took place in the infield in the All-Star Game 1999 at Fenway. Ed Brickley, the PA announcer at Fenway Park, one of the many individuals who contributed to a story that is now at our website, 98.5thesportshub.com. Great job by Sean Silver, who has two stories right now at our website. He has an oral history of both the 1999 Home Run Derby and the 1999 All-Star Game. And I can tell you the one on the game itself is far more in-depth and is a much more in-depth piece that has a bunch of different perspectives. Guys that covered the game, a lot of media guys, as well as individuals with the team, like Red Sox CEO John Harrington, who contributed to the piece. Broadcasters like Jerry Trupiano, but also players themselves from both the American and National League teams that took part in that game that gave some of their perspectives on this, and Red Sox, former Red Sox GM Dan Duquette. All of them sort of give their recollections of the lead up to the game and the night itself, and it's awesome. So get it yourself. Read it. Take the time to go through it. 98.5thesportshub.com is our website. I read it last night. It's pretty great. Some of the things that stood out to me is that all Ted Williams needed to get to the game was his own plane. It was important for Major League Baseball that they get Ted Williams to that game. And they had been planning on that for months, for him to be there that night. And they had been on the Red Sox about making sure that Ted Williams was going to be there that night. So they kept sort of checking in with Ted Williams, reminding him about the game. And he's going, yeah, okay. And he said, what do we need to do? What do we need to do to make sure you're here? And he said, well, yeah, make sure I have a plane. I need a private jet, and I'll be there. And so that's all it really took. They flew him here, and he was here. And so 20 years ago, can you believe that?
No.
It's 20 years already.
No, I can't.
Where do those two decades go?
Think about how much has changed in that 20 years, too.
And that is the biggest difference between 20 years ago and now. That was a completely different time in baseball. That game was littered with stars. Mm. I mean, just loaded with them.
It's the greatest collection, Mark, of baseball players in one place ever.
In one night?
The All-Century team, yep. That 99 All-Star team, both teams were loaded. It's one of the most special nights, at least to me, in baseball history. It's one of those defining moments. It might be the greatest night in Fenway Park history. And hell, they won the World Series here in 2013. That's how important that night was. And think about how much has changed over the last 20 years and how we think about baseball. Because 20 years ago, baseball was still the biggest sport in this country. Not anymore.
And last night, Mookie Betts, who should be one of the most marketable stars in all of the sport, has his own manager as the manager of the team. He didn't even get an at-bat in the game.
Man,
does that make sense to you?
20 years ago, Nomar played hurt. Pedro got hurt in the All-Star game.
Pedro got hurt in a game that then did not count, and a game last night that did not count. Pedro hurt himself and threw out his shoulder, giving the effort that he gave 20 years ago, trying to throw 100 miles an hour. And he got hurt. He suffered because of that. And last night, Mookie Betts didn't even get an at-bat, didn't even come to the plate. What the hell's wrong with this sport? What's wrong with this sport? This game doesn't really mean anything anymore. It used to mean something. It doesn't feel like it means much anymore.
No, not at all. I mean, the game has changed so much, and all-star games don't mean as much as they once did. But even the baseball all-star game still carried a lot of meaning. And maybe I'm saying that because I was a kid when this happened, and I remember, I mean, the 1999 all-star game is one of my all-time favorite sports memories. But I think that's the way people used to feel about this game, and they just don't feel that way about this game at all anymore. I know that it's 2019. I know the world has changed, but the baseball all-star game still should mean something. Hell, it's the only thing on at night. I mean, I watched it, but I just had it on in the background. I didn't care one bit. I didn't know who was hitting.
And by the way, no one has a good answer for how to do it.
No.
Nobody does. Baseball doesn't. The Players Association doesn't. Yesterday, Tony Clark himself, the head, former player himself, head of the MLB Players Association, he talked about Mookie Betts specifically. A guy who's coming off his MVP season, guy who just won the World Series, plays in one of the best baseball markets in the entire country. And should be with that, you know, million-dollar smile, right? Marketable guy. You would think that he would be one of the most marketable guys in the game. Here's the quote from Clark. Mookie should be a household name. Mookie should be a one-name guy. So true. Yep. Mookie, that's it. He says, you say Ronaldo, you say Messi, you say Mookie. You should know who Mookie is. And outside the baseball world, I don't know how many people do. In the grand scheme of things, respected players should be at the forefront of every conversation. He should be in the conversation with non-baseball fans. Mookie should be one of them. No doubt about it. And as it was written today in the Boston Globe by Julian McWilliams, but he isn't. That's the truth. He just isn't one of those names. And he's not one of those people outside of the sport that anybody knows. And Clark didn't give any suggestions, as it's written in the Globe today, on how to best promote Betts, adding that Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Baseball, good luck there, might be better served to answer that question. And however, he didn't add specifics on what he would like to see, saying, I will simply suggest to you this. I want to be able to turn on the TV and see players on products with sponsors, licensees up and down the roads. Whether you're in a big city or small city, I would like to see them overlap in other sports, in other industries, and on TVs and commercials promoting movies. I would love to see all of that. What makes them attractive for those other things? For the other products, for other industries, for movies, for entertainment, for any of it?
I don't know.
Don't they have better options? Don't all those other industries have better options in the, you know, arena of sports?
Yeah, yeah. And that's
they're
it.
Like, why do I have to choose Mookie Betts? I get guys in the NFL. I get guys in the NBA. What do I need to choose your baseball players for?
It's a baseball thing. It's not a Mookie Betts thing.
They don't need to choose your baseball guys. They don't need your baseball players.
Right. And think about how much that has changed over the last 20 years, because if you go back to that night, 1999, I would say probably three of the top four or five most popular, recognizable athletes in the country at that point were baseball players. McGuire, Sosa, and Griffey. And then what, 1999, Jordan and, I don't know, Brett Favre maybe or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, McGuire, Sosa, and Griffey, any person in America, baseball fan, non-baseball fan, could have told you who those guys were. Could any person in America pick the three best players in baseball right now?
Nope.
No way in hell. And it's amazing it's only taken 20 years for that to happen. It's depressing to me, it is. I mean, you guys know how much I love baseball. It's depressing.
They could tell you who the best quarterbacks are.
Of course they could.
They could tell you who the best players in the NBA are.
Could you name? Could the average American name the top five NFL quarterbacks 20 years ago? They would have named Favre, Marino, Steve Young was probably still playing at that point. But like, what are we talking about here?
It would have been easier for them to name the stars in baseball.
Of course it would have.
Yeah.
And now it's not the case. It is not the case. Baseball's in a much different place than it was in 20 years ago, when that All-Star game was held here. Now it doesn't feel like it's as big of a deal.
Not even close.
It's not even close. It really isn't. 617-779-0985.
But back to our original point.
Yeah.
Read that Silver.
It's
oral
incredible. Hustle. It's phenomenal.
Sean Silver's piece. If this were on any website, we'd be pimping it. But I love the oral history stuff anyway for, you know, big events like this.
Yeah.
And to go back, and whether it's about a band or, you know, an event or something like that.
I didn't know that Kevin Costner was in the booth.
Yeah.
Doing the announcements live of the All Century team that night.
And how about Ed Brickley saying he had a guy from Fox behind him saying, you know, move this thing along.
Move it along, and he wouldn't do it. And he finally said, you either make the announcement or I'll find someone who will. I don't want to ruin the story. I don't want to ruin it. You have to read it.
It's
phenomenal. I don't want to give too many spoilers. But who would have thought Kevin Costner was at Fenway doing live introductions from the booth at Fenway?
Yeah. And the story about the flyover.
Yes.
There's good stuff in there.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, Silver did a great job with it.
Don't go anywhere. We'll get to your calls next.
Miss something?
You got to wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yeah.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
And now our All Century pitchers are a four-time Cy Young Award winner, the all-time strikeout king among left-handed pitchers, Steve Carlton. He is the only five-time Cy Young Award winner, and he struck out 20 batters in a game on two separate occasions. Roger Clemens. One of the game's most dominant closers. He won both the Cy Young and MVP awards in 1990. Dennis Eckersley.
'99 All-Star Game. July 13th of '99. 20th anniversary of that game coming up on Saturday to the day. You know, interesting part of that whole Verlander baseball conversation that we didn't really touch on too much yesterday, Hardy, is the home runs being hit now. Haven't meant anything. I heard Felger say it yesterday. Haven't meant anything for the popularity of the game. They're hitting a million home runs. No one's watching because they're hitting home runs.
No.
Nobody even digs the long ball anymore. Hasn't helped TV ratings. Hasn't helped bring viewers to the game. Hasn't helped any of that. Interest is still at an all-time low.
I think what happens is you automatically assume that more offense is going to equate to more ratings, and it's gonna mean that you've got more people interested in the game. But the fact is, it's coming from. It's not like a handful of guys like the home run chase was. And it's not just, you know, from a few guys that you can just expect to see a home run. You're getting home runs from a lot of different players in a lot of different games. And it's kind of like a, you know, an across the board increase. So while I'm sure it's not hurting things, the excitement level isn't there because it's not like, oh, this guy and this guy are just going off, which, yeah, we all know the dangers of that and how it actually came to be between McGuire and Sosa and Bonds. But that seemed exciting because there was like a trio of these monsters who were hitting home run after home run. But now just everybody's hitting a few more.
Yeah, everyone has home runs. Yeah, you got one. Everyone hits
one. Raise them up a little across the board. Yeah. So where's the excitement in that?
And baseball's juicing the ball because they saw the home run save the game after the 94 strike once before. But they don't understand that the problem with the game now is, sure, home runs are up, but action is down. You've got too many strikeouts. You're not putting the ball in play. The games are taking way too long. So sure, people like home runs, but they also dislike a lack of action. And that's the problem that baseball has now. I'm going to be curious to try and find the average length of game in 1998 during the home run chase.
Look it up.
I bet you it's a hell of a lot less than we've got going on now.
Matt's in Acton. What do you got, Matt?
All right, so I'd say today baseball players are boring. What would you say if Pedro got rid of the Riot Act by MLB and let's take Joe Torre out of it, say Tito, whoever. You know what? I think he'd go to the mound and throw a 95-mile-per-hour bullet into the fleshy part of the thigh, Christian Yelich. And I wish Justin Verlander had done something like that yesterday.
How does that help
character
anything?
In the game.
In the All-Star game?
What?
Why not?
So wait, because hold on. I gather that because Rob Manfred basically made sure that Justin Verlander was read the Riot Act, he's supposed to go out and drill Christian Yelich.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Whatever you say, dude.
Whew. You don't agree? You don't think that's the appropriate path to take?
Yeah, there's no. Yeah, let's go throw at the National League MVP because I'm mad at the commissioner. All right. What are you smoking? What the hell is wrong with you?
Jerry is up next. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, Beetle. I just wanted to tell you guys, I came home from shopping and the announcement was on and I'm going, that's Ted Williams. I worked for Aramac 99 till we won the 2004 World Series. I was not able to hold on to either one of my jobs after that. But the 99, when Ted Williams showed up, I was out in right field working. And it was way different when the other people owned it. Before John Henry bought it, it was all fenced in. It was like going to a WWF convention. It was all fenced in. And they opened up the back, and there's three or four cops on motorcycles came in, and then a big black limousine. And Ted got out of the car, barely, was getting out. And when the door to the stadium opened up, everybody did. Oh, I mean, I'm talking about all the players were just, they were like bowing down. It got goosebumps all over you. So I was just calling to share that type of experience to actually be, you know, there with him.
All right, Jerry. You know, I think I know what you're talking about, too. I remember, back in the day, before Fenway got its makeover, they used to actually pull buses up for the visiting team, and they still pull the buses for the visitors out in right field. There's like a parking lot beyond Fenway now. But they used to pull them up very tight to where the separation was between the bleachers and the rest of the park. If you had bleacher tickets, you were not allowed to go into the rest of the park.
Hmm.
It was gated in. You couldn't cross. Now you can go anywhere you want in the park. It used to be there was this metal cage. You're caged in like animals out there with the bleacher creatures. And they'd park buses like sort of along that out there.
Yep.
And that's where there was some access there where I'm sure they brought them in because they brought them in right field. And the concourses out in right were much tighter to where the field is. It wasn't all open and spacious the way it is now. The concourses at Fenway used to be very tight all the way around. It was a small place. It's very different now. It's hard to explain what it used to be like for someone who didn't experience it then.
I just don't know what player now in 2019 they could bring back and bring onto the field that would get that kind of reaction from the players.
Nobody.
And
there's
from the
nobody.
Media. I mean, that's it. There really isn't one player right now that would get the attention of every player and every media member and everybody in the stands that you could bring out and just be a jaw-dropping moment.
That night was the perfect storm. You will never experience anything like that night again. Based on the All-Century team being there, you know, just really good teams for both the American League and the National League at that time, and then Ted Williams returning to Fenway Park. He hadn't really been there all that much. You know, here he was aging. He died 3 years later. And then to have Pedro Martinez go out and do what he did, you'll never experience anything like that again. The greatest collection of baseball players ever, anywhere, end of story.
And Kevin Costner doing the introductions.
Not bad.
Be too cheesy now. Now you'd roll your eyes at it. But 20 years ago? Hell yeah.
Not too bad. Average length of game, by the way, in 1999.
Yeah, what do you got for us there, Takey?
Somewhere between 247 and 257. It peaked at 257 in 2000. I can get it by decade. 247 in 1990, 257 in 2000. And right now we're, what, at 308, 309, something like that? So there you go. Game is 10 to 15 minutes shorter somewhere in there.
So in that story, the Sean Silver story, too, it talks about Pedro meeting Ted Williams after the game.
It's awesome.
There's a video of that.
Yeah, there is.
I've seen it. I can't seem to find it online, though. So if someone does find it online,
Send us a tweet or an email with that.
And one of the reasons...
Because that video is out there. That video does exist.
And one of the reasons why Ted wanted to be there, because he wanted to meet Pedro. He actually liked him, which was, you know...
rare.
Yes, somebody joked about in that oral history, it's like, you know, rare for Ted Williams to like a pitcher, but he liked Pedro. And that was, you know, part of the deal.
Yeah, his guys were Nomar and Tony Gwynn. Yeah. Him and Tony Gwynn went way back. They had known each other for a very long time. And he liked Nomar. They had a good relationship. And then he liked Pedro. Wanted to meet Pedro.
Yeah.
And commented about his long fingers. Couldn't believe how long his fingers were.
Have you heard Pedro talk about that, meeting Ted Williams?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I mean, yeah, he raves about it.
617-779-0985.
And last night was just as magical.
I could feel it. Couldn't you? It was really special.
Do you like the mic'd up stuff that they do?
It's fine. It's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's entertaining, but it just further reinforces that the game doesn't mean anything.
They're just trying to sell it to you.
Yeah, they're out there joking around.
Trying to do what they're trying to do.
As Felker would say, just out there playing grab ass instead of really actually paying attention, you know, under the baseball and all that. Okay, all right, whatever. It's an all-star game. But don't try and tell me it's, you know, meaningful. Otherwise, you wouldn't have the guys mic'd up in the middle of the game.
Let's get back to some of your calls on this. We're talking about Major League Baseball's All-Star Game and really reminiscing about 1999. Let's do more of that next.
First, our introduction. Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is something we should have
done. We'll save that for tomorrow. We've got a topic for tomorrow that we will discuss tomorrow. Hardy, don't tell people what it is.
I want people to be thinking, though.
Okay. Well, we should probably just save it for tomorrow. That would be the best idea.
Fine. I need help, though.
Hardy needs help with a personal problem.
It's not like that.
No?
This is a great way to get ideas.
First you whack it, then you blow it, Hardy.
No. I'm not talking about lawn maintenance.
Is it about your backyard?
It is about my backyard.
Okay, then.
But it has nothing to do with whacking or blowing or mowing or plowing. We'll get to it.
Okay, we'll get to it tomorrow.
And you know what? This will be good. I will come back with dimensions for tomorrow.
Good. You'll give the people some sort of idea of what it is you need for the backyard.
Can even post a photo.
Ooh.
Okay?
Okay.
This is good. Now I'm excited to come to work tomorrow.
And it's a blank canvas. You're looking for ideas.
Blank canvas.
Okay. All right. We'll do it tomorrow.
Nice.
Is a pool out of the question?
No.
I don't think you have the space for it. We'll get the dimensions tomorrow.
I already researched it, and you can do smaller versions, and I think there's enough room.
Yeah, then you're going to need a fence, though. Max is in Wayland. Max.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi there. I just had something about the All-Star game. So it's been pretty bad lately, as you said. You know, no one cares. No one watches it. I just got a question for you guys. What do you think the MLB has to do, if anything, to bring the ratings up for the All-Star game?
That is $1 million question, my friend.
There's nothing you can do.
You know what it is? It's not about the All-Star game as an individual product and night. It's about their sport.
Thank you.
It's not about the night. If the sport was more important to people, the game would be more important to people.
There it is.
That's what it is.
The Pro Bowl is complete garbage. And it still does a really good rating because people care about football.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with the game itself. No. It's not that the game is wrong or has something, you know, problematic about it. It's that the sport is not as important to people as it was. Again, we're going to keep going back to this 20 years ago. It was not as important right now. And so that, to me, is where the issue lies, not in the game itself.
Yeah, and oftentimes the game is actually a pretty decent product. They played it in 2 hours, 45 minutes last night, 4-3 game. You had some scoring. There was some good pitching.
Yeah, because everyone wanted to get the hell out of there.
Right, exactly. I mean, hell, last year they had like a gazillion home runs in the final two innings of the game, right? Last year's game was really exciting. The actual on-field product, the All-Star game, is generally pretty good. it's the problem. The sport just needs to be in a healthier spot.
I'd agree with that.
It's the closest thing to a real game. I mean, it's a real game. Unlike these other sports, football and basketball, like that's actually a real baseball game.
Yes.
That they played last night. No other sport has that.
If you do care and are interested in television ratings, this did tie the lowest ever rated All-Star game.
Yeah. It's just the way it's trending.
The record low was in 2016, which was a 6-2 nationally. This tied the record low with a 6-2 nationally. If you care about the numbers, I don't think you needed to know the number to know where baseball's at in terms of their, you know, viewers and number of eyeballs and hearts and minds and all of that. Okay. Rich in the car on Mookie Betts. Rich.
Hello.
Hi, Rich.
Hi.
Listen, I want to talk about Mookie Betts.
Sure.
Maybe one of the reasons why Mookie's having a little problem this year is he's checking his gold around his neck. And he tucks it behind his shirt every time he makes an error, even when he does a rundown, or anything he does. So all he does is check his goal, you know?
Yeah.
And he's also given all the guys in the dugout an opportunity to wear their gold. Mm-hmm. Some of them don't really wear gold, maybe, but mm-hmm. my mother always taught me money is the root of all evil. But... Mm-hmm. To make a long story short,
please,
you know, I'm a football guy, and my brother was the great Northeastern baseball player, went all the way during his years, was a great coach. But I just wanted to get that in, and the fact is that, in my mind, I was there when Ted Williams hit his home run. Maybe you can remind me, what year was it, 57 or 59?
60.
What year?
1960.
Okay, I was in my uniform, and there weren't that many people there that day. And I remember Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
All right, Rich. Rich, appreciate the call. Thanks for checking in.
I would say thank you for your service, but I don't know what kind of uniform he is wearing.
I don't know that it was a uniform in a... I don't know what kind of uniform it was.
I mean, it could have been for the Gasso down on the corner.
The Mookie gold thing that he's referring to, he did the same thing last year, and he won the MVP and had a monster season. So I don't think that's it. I don't think that's the root of his problems.
He kind of had a Zoe thing going on. It was kind of like a stream of consciousness. Gold, other guys in the clubhouse, they got gold.
Here's a question I have, though.
Make new friends, but keep the old. One is silver, the other's gold.
Xander Bogaerts signed a contract before the season, has the peace of mind of the security of his deal.
Ah.
Knows what his future is, monetarily speaking and contract-wise.
Yes, a bit more.
And doesn't have to think about it at all.
Yep.
And look at the season he's having.
Not thinking about his contract.
Career year.
Has nothing to think about. It's done. It's over with. Has nothing to focus on but baseball and playing and going out every day and doing his thing. Mookie, he's, you know, betting on himself and going out and trying to replicate what he did a year ago to, you know, continue to try and boost that value. And look at what he's got going on this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those mental pressures of the contract status could be impacting him.
How about Rick Porcello, too, contract year? Oof. Not so hot.
He's up and down, though. He's Rick Porcello.
Yeah, your point's valid.
He's Rick Porcello. We got Hardy, we got our friend Lefty on the line.
Oh, Lefty.
Lefty legend is on the line.
What's up?
And he's got some stories of 99 that he wanted to give us.
Stories. Listen, you two rock and roll guys, you know, the gin blossoms will never forget you visiting them, you know, as celebrities that you are.
I don't think the gin blossoms would remember us.
I don't think they remembered us. My son Matt Damon was the celebrity guest for the 99, and they allowed him all the way before with his dad and some friends that beat you in the park, got a huge thrill, and he was absolutely embarrassed in the dugout in the locker room when people were asking him for his autograph. He said, my God, he was so embarrassed because he was asking for their autographs. So at a point in time when he's sitting in that box in front with his dad, Asher came down and said, Ted would like to see you. Ted was up in the owner's box. So that is that.
So wait, Ted Williams requested to see Matt Damon?
Absolutely. He said, bring that guy up here. So Matt came up with his dad, And he walked in, and, you know, Ted's voice, I was a friend of Ted, and I break off with him. At any rate, he says, hey, come on. You know, his voice, you can hear him a million miles away.
Yeah.
And Matt said, hi, Mr. Williams. And he said, I read your book. And Ted said, you did not read my book. Blah, blah, blah. What's the most important thing is? And Matt said, always hit a good pitch. And Ted said, well, God got it. That's right.
Wow, Lefty, I'm going to let you go because your phone is a bad connection there. But add that to the oral history. Lefty knows everybody, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
It's Lefty Wenick. Oh. Paul Wenick, friend of mine. Hardy now knows him. If you're watching on the simulcast, you get a picture of Lefty. Also helped break the Gin Blossoms. The guy is unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's like Forrest Gump.
Rock and roll
just
guy.
Just involved Lefty in everything. Guy. Yeah, and also had the second best ERA in all of college baseball, pitched for UMass back in the day. Yeah.
I mean, is he a southpaw?
Huh? Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, hence the name. Lefty. Yeah, knows Ted Williams, friends with Matt Damon through his dad. Damon since he was this tall.
Hanging out with him at the Paradise one night. Where are those guys going? Walk around, bang, bang, bang,
I'm
going
to blow up his spot. You know who else he's friends with? He's friends with a guy who's notoriously, I guess, hard to be friends with because he doesn't have very many friends.
Scott Zolak?
No. Easy to be friends with that guy. Yaz.
Maz?
Yaz.
Oh, Yaz.
Tight with Yaz.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're buddies. Yep.
It's big.
It is. We'll get to today's takeaways coming up next.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
Need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, time now for the takeaways brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss, who's now got a downtown location, Government Center. It's now open. You're only steps or a T-ride away to the long-term solution to weight loss. We're just talking more about the 99 All-Star Game because it's just that awesome. Can't stop talking about it. It was so great, especially if you were of a certain age in 1999. Like, just if you were a kid in 99. I was 14 years old in 1999. I just can't get enough of it. Like, that is prime baseball viewing age.
Sports prime.
Sports prime. Can't get enough of it. The Pete Rose, Jim Gray interview did not happen that night. It's a common mistake that is made because that interview was happening because of the All-Century team. Pete Rose interview took place during the World Series that year. Right. That interview took place later that year. It happened in Atlanta. Sorry, McTakey.
I thought it was that night.
Yeah, we got onto this path today because there is this fabulous oral history of the 1999 All-Star Game that is now up at our website, 98.5thesportshub.com. Sean Silver, great work by him. You want to check this out. You want to read it. It
must
has
read.
All kinds of great recollections of the 99 All-Star Game for people who lived it, people who were very much involved in bringing the game to Fenway, including John Harrington, who was the CEO of the Red Sox at the time.
He's great in the piece, by the way. He's awesome.
He likes to take a little bit of credit for the game ending up here, does he not?
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
So go check it out, 98.5. That's 98.5, thesportshub.com. There are actually two stories up on our website. There's an oral history of both the Home Run Derby and the game itself, and the story on the game itself is far more in depth and has a lot more content and a lot more material. Carve out a little bit of time to kick back and read that. Players, coaches, media members, executives, it covers all the bases, to use a baseball pun. So check it out for yourself right now at our website. Great work by Sean Silver. Great job by him. Go to our website now and read it for yourself.
And I've been told, by the way, Beetle, there will be another piece coming out next week on the 1999 Red Sox themselves. An oral history on the 99 Red Sox with the likes of Jeff Fry talking about it. That's Brian Daboch, Harrington.
Wow.
There's a lot of content.
The Sean Silver oral history series will continue.
Kid can write. He's a great writer.
So another one
coming up next week on that 99 team. You know, that 99 team, the Red Sox were four games up on the Yankees in the East when that game happened at Fenway. So the team was in a good position. They went to the ALCS that year. It didn't end well for them in that series against the Yankees. Horrible blown call at second base. That really...
Tim Cheetah.
It was Knobloch at second base.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Knobloch on Jose Offerman. Brett Saberhagen started that game.
Phantom tag.
But the Red Sox are doing their own, you're saying?
I'm sorry?
No. Sean Silver's going to have another one.
Oh, another one.
Just on the Red Sox team.
The 99 Red Sox.
Yeah, that's coming up. Okay. We also have time for this. Our takeaway from the day is Scott and Weymouth, who called, but we never got a chance to get to what he wanted to say because, well, there's some foul language on the line before we could ever hear from him. Scott's in Weymouth. Whoa! drop that. Okay, you're banned for the day. Bleep that right out of the gate.
It's a shame.
A double bleep that.
Yeah. I don't know what was going on.
Very strong language.
It was in the background. I almost thought it was our show coming over in the background. I'm like, wow, did we miss something?
What did McCarthy say?
Beetle, very quickly, speaking of foul-mouthed.
Yeah.
Did you know Rip Torn died today? The age of 88?
No.
Do you know who Rip Torn is?
Do I? No, I don't think I do.
Played Artie on the Larry Sanders Show.
I do know who that is then.
Phenomenal actor.
That's before my time. I have seen the Larry Sanders Show, but I know who that is.
Wasn't he Patches O'Houlihan in Dodgeball?
I believe he was Patches. He was also in Summer Rental and played Scully.
Men in Black.
He was only
Men in Black. Thank you, Tom, at Defending Your Life.
Here's my next question. He was 88?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's about right.
But famous for his fights in Hollywood. Pulled a knife on Dennis Hopper, although Dennis Hopper claims it was the other way around or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. He was the boss. What was his name in Men in Black?
I don't know what letter it was.
A.
Yeah.
Maz Jones Hook. Next.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.